Welcome to AM Best Audio.
I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV, and we're at the NAMIC Annual Convention in Denver. Joining us now is NAMIC CEO Neil Aldridge. Neil, so great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Well, we're at another wonderful, exciting NAMIC convention. Can you tell us a little bit about this year's conference and some of the big topics that we're hearing?
Sure. So this is our 129th annual convention, and we have a great attendance this year. We're actually at a level of attendance that's pre-COVID now.
Wonderful.
So we're back to sort of where we thought we should be all along. So that's great to see. We have a wonderful lineup of speakers, as usual, lots of concurrent sessions. The themes are not unusual, I would say. It's a lot of talk about the reinsurance marketplace and the changes and dynamics going on there, but also, of course, a lot of focus on our advocacy issues in Washington and in the states. I was just in a session a minute ago that was talking about some of these topics. So what people would expect largely, the marketplace dynamics are certainly on the top of everyone's minds. And we certainly see that also play out here at convention.
So can you tell us about the current state of the mutual insurance market today?
Sure. So it's there's certainly been challenges for insurers the past couple of years. That's not news to anyone. We characterize this confluence of inflation and economic uncertainty and out of control litigation abuse and extreme weather as the new era of risk. This is the umbrella that we think all of these things fall under. And so the mutuals, like the rest of the industry, have been, you know, dealing with this set of circumstances now for a couple of years. And you see it in the results, right? You've seen insurers struggling to be profitable over the last couple of years. And that's the same for our membership as well. I do believe we're starting to maybe see a little turn in the road here, a little curve that I think perhaps it's beginning to improve. But there's no doubt the industry has had its share of struggles the past couple of years. But I'm confident that we've got a bright future ahead of us. Most of the NAMIC membership has been in business for over 100 years. You know, they've been through World Wars and the Great Depression and, you know, this set of circumstances that we face now in our country, they'll weather it.
Are you seeing a rise in new mutuals today, and where are they coming from?
Yeah, we don't see a lot of new mutuals being created. There have been a few. We certainly see mutuals that are taking on new roles, new lines of business, expanding into different states. But we don't see a lot of new mutuals being created. But certainly the ones, you know, that we have presently are growing and are really doing well.
At various times, the levels of demutualizations have varied.
Yeah.
What's driving that?
Yeah, so that's really been more of a phenomenon in the life insurance sector. It hasn't been so common on the property casualty side. What we see more in our membership has been more in the consolidation or merger area. That's more common in the property casualty world than the demutualization is. And we certainly see our share of that the last couple of years. Not surprisingly, these market dynamics we talked about have had an effect on the increase in companies that are merging, but they're largely merging with other mutuals. And so at the end of the day, they become stronger financially.
Some mutual insurers utilize surplus notes. Do you see any new forms of risk financing coming into the mutual
sector?
Yeah,
there certainly is some creativity. You see one new wrinkle has been the appearance of the mutual group, for instance. It's a unique structure where it gives companies the opportunity to perhaps have new capital alternatives available to them. That's a new wrinkle in the marketplace today. Surplus notes are something that mutuals have utilized from time to time. But primarily what you see companies doing now is really going back to the basics, right? They're really following underwriting discipline. Their premiums are rising as risk changes. Premiums are also rising. And so we see more of a return to fundamentals in a lot of ways rather than looking for new or alternative financing mechanisms.
Are you seeing relationships between mutual insurers and agents changing in any way? And if so, in what ways?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's changing. I would say in a lot of ways, it's the agent-company relationship has probably never been more important. With these challenges, There have been companies, we've all seen companies that are making decisions about writing in different states or not writing in certain lines of business or not writing in certain states or not accepting new business in certain states. That's created challenges for the agents looking for markets. In many cases, it's NAMIC members who maybe are new markets for them, and so their relationships with their agents are more important than ever. And I also, there's been some really interesting data that even younger generations are interested in learning more about that whole agent-company relationship. You know, the demise of the independent agent has been talked about for years. The market doesn't really demonstrate that that's really a factor. And so I believe at the moment, the companies and the agent relationship is in many ways stronger than ever.
How about MGAs?
Certainly, we see those. There are new and creative ways. MGAs are a relatively, they're not necessarily new, but they're more frequent usage right now. And, you know, that they certainly serve a role in the market.
Can you share some good examples of mutual insurers marketing their mutuality?
Sure. So really since the financial crisis, you've seen companies trade on their mutuality more. Before then, it was really, a lot of companies didn't talk a lot about their mutual. They thought it was too complicated. You know, nobody really cared what kind of structure their company was. But really, since the financial crisis, you've seen more and more companies being more forward about their mutuality. I describe them as we're the farm to table of the financial services industry. We're the organic, you know, we're Main Street and not Wall Street. All those things happen to be true. And the mutual structure gives companies an ability to really focus on who they are. And they only have one mission, which is to serve their policyholders. That's a powerful message for potential consumers when you don't have to compete with other interests that might change insurers' interests in certain lines of business or certain states. And mutuals have the advantage of taking the long-term view, and their mutuality is what differentiates them in the marketplace.
Do legislators and regulators appreciate the difference between mutual insurers and other forms, and what do they need to know?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say there's varying degrees of understanding. More so in the regulatory community, I think there's a higher level of understanding about mutuals. I once had a regulator tell me a few years ago, Neil, if every company in America was like NAMIC members, I wouldn't have anything to do. Because the mutual companies, they're in their communities. They are, like I said, they've been around for over 100 years. They're stable. They kind of are what they are. And that is something that the regulatory community really values. It's not a surprise when you go to a mutual company. They're a lot like they were a few years ago. Legislators, a little different story. You know, a lot more people from varied backgrounds there. Maybe they don't have much understanding at all about what, you know, different structures in the insurance world. But we certainly educate them.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
How do you see the mutual insurance model evolving in the face of emerging technologies and also changing customer expectations?
Sure, yeah. It's an interesting time in the marketplace right now. Mutuals kind of have this reputation of being these sleepy, you know, kind of boring creatures that don't really adapt to change very well. And I would tell you, if you look at the reality, the opposite is really true. These companies are at the forefront of adopting new technologies. Just look at the change we've seen in just the work from home environment, for instance. I think if you had polled the insurance industry about how well the country's mutual insurers would have rapidly adapted to a rapid work from home environment, many people would tell you they wouldn't do very well at it. These are old, stodgy, buttoned up mutual insurance companies after all. Well, you look around and the companies that have adopted flexible work environments, hiring people from other parts of the country, it's really a testament to their adaptability.
And what do you consider to be some of the biggest regulatory challenges facing mutual insurers in today's environment?
Yeah, there's many. We, as I mentioned earlier, we talk about this new era of risk. And this morning in my speech to the convention attendees, we focused a lot on now we're at the point in this story, new chapter is that policymakers are now reacting to these marketplace dynamics. Not surprisingly, insurance rates are going up, risk is changing, and companies are making decisions about how they manage it. There's always a policymaker reaction when there's a change like that. And we're seeing it. We see it in Washington in the form of increased interest in gathering data. We have the Senate Banking Committee Chairman and the Senate Budget Committee Chairman both involved in calling for potential investigations into the crisis in the homeowners insurance market. They're really misdiagnosing the problem. What we would tell policymakers is, let's focus on the root causes here. Let's focus on the drivers of inflation. Let's solve the litigation environment. Let's enact real reforms there. And let's create an environment that allows rates to reflect risk. If the risk goes down, the rates are going to go down. If the risks are going up, insurance premiums are going to go up. That's the way this works. And so we've spent an awful lot of time educating policymakers, but that set of issues, this matching rate to risk, whether it be in the states or in Washington, is probably the most important issue facing the industry right now.
What strategies do you recommend for mutual insurers to remain competitive against larger publicly traded insurance companies?
Sure. Mostly what I encourage companies to do is to be who they are. You know, they have the mutual, there's a reason why this mutual structure has been so durable. It really fits insurance, right? Insurance risks, as we've talked about here at Link, change. And the companies that are able to take a longer view and have the capital strength to weather these changes really serve well in the insurance marketplace. It's a structure that matches the business very well. And I think what we're seeing is that mutuals really have an advantage here. And I just encourage them to don't be afraid of who they are. You know, they have strengths in the marketplace. Play to them, especially now. Especially with these market dynamics that we see. And now is a great time to, you know, have the underwriting discipline that you need. You know, pursue changes that's going to make your company more competitive. And you're seeing it. We see it here at this convention, but we see it in the marketplace as well.
Right. Well, one of the big topics we're hearing a lot about are, like you talked earlier about the rise of natural catastrophes. Mm. How is NAMIC helping its members navigate
sure.
these rising events?
Yeah, we see extreme weather playing out in many different ways. And we pursue it really, there's not much we can do about the weather per se, but we can do things like pursue new legislation and policy changes on mitigation and resiliency. We do this constantly at the state level and at the federal level. We've been a leader, and this industry has been a leader really, in pursuing new mitigation efforts. We know we can build buildings to still be there after a hurricane comes through. We just have to have the political will to actually do it. And in some places, there are improvements. You've seen several states pass some of this fortified home, providing incentives to build better housing. We can do this as a country. As I said, we just have to have the will to be able to do it. But that's certainly something we're going to have to face. The weather is changing. Our population is really shifting. This is the other part of this story that probably does not get talked about enough. And that is that population change, people moving to more risky areas, is just as big of a problem as extreme weather is. You know, it's always hailed in Frisco, Texas. There used to never be anything in Frisco, Texas. Now the Dallas Cowboys practice facility is in Frisco, Texas, along with lots of other things that can break when it hails. And so that phenomenon of people moving to more risky areas is really as much of an issue for our country as the extreme weather is.
Well, can you tell us about some of the things NAMIC is working on, some of your current and upcoming programs and initiatives, and what they will also mean for your members?
Yeah, we're certainly focused on the advocacy. That's our primary mission. That's why we exist. We represent our member companies in Washington and the states and everywhere else that we need to do so. And we will continue to focus on that mission. We're always looking for new ways to serve the membership. Educational events, this convention, all the other events that we do throughout the year provide real content to the membership, and we're always looking for new ways to provide more value for the membership. You'll see changes from us. We have a brand new technology system. Everybody's in the technology business, it seems, this day. And we're about to launch a brand new website that's going to be full of new features for the members. So we're very excited about that.
That's very exciting. And Neil, when you look at the mutual insurance market, what lies ahead?
Change. I think both in terms of the new era of risk and what we're seeing in the marketplace, I think we'll continue to see some continued consolidation in the industry. But I also think that we're going to hopefully see a change for maybe some better macroeconomic circumstances, where perhaps inflation does get under control. Perhaps we can get some reform in the out-of-control litigation system, and we can begin to see positive changes in the overall economic system, which will begin to bring change then to companies' financial results.
Neil, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here.
For AM Best TV in Denver, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.